Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 20, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from its entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloths that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them of the things that had happened to her. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, come now in the abundant power of your Holy Spirit, and take my lips and speak through them, take our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start this morning the same way that I started my simple little thought at the top of the mountain at 6:30 and tell you a story of something that happened yesterday. Those of you that were up there, you heard me say this already, but I think it's important because it got me thinking. Yesterday afternoon, I was in Limerick. We drove down yesterday morning and back home yesterday evening, and I'll say no more about Limerick, other than on the way home. The way back, my friend Sean, who goes to the rugby matches with me, said to me, he says, "Mark, have you your sermons ready for the morning?" And I said, "I have, I've the two in my head." And he said, "Two sermons?" And I says, "Well, I'll bring a thought at the top of the mountain at 6:30, and then at 11:30 there'll be my main address to the parish." And he said, "Then tell me, what are you preaching on?" And me being a little bit witty, as I thought, and realizing that, well, tomorrow's Easter, he shouldn't have to ask that, I said to him, "Sean, I think I'm going to preach on the birth of Christ." To which he looked at me and said, "Aye, very good, because surely as Jesus left the tomb, it was like a new birth. And that's what it means to us." And I sat there, silent, speechless, which doesn't happen very often, for a few moments. And then I looked at him and I said, "You're right. Totally right." To which he burst out laughing. And I said to him, "How did you think of that so quick?" Well, he said, I realized that as I asked you, what are you preaching on, that tomorrow was Easter and you would say the resurrection. And he said, so I was prepared for something else to come at me. And he said, that was how it came out. But I want us to take that theme and I want us to think about that this morning. What does it actually mean? Last week, during Holy Week, everything pointed to the cross. And on Friday especially, we thought most about the cross. And I finished on Friday night by asking the question, what does the cross mean for you? Well, this morning I want to ask a similar question, but to go a step further and to ask, what does the resurrection mean for you? As I was visiting around the parish this past week with home communions, a parishioner who will remain nameless said to me as we discussed the Easter story, she said, Rector, how would you feel if you were conducting a funeral service and in the middle of it, the lid of the coffin rapped and the person sat up and said, hello? I said, there would be a massive mark-shaped hole in the nearest door I could find. To which she looked at me and said, but is that not what happened on Easter Sunday morning? And I said, you're right. It's exactly what happened on Easter Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and some of the other disciples, the females among their group, went to the tomb to perform the religious duties that they weren't allowed to perform on Good Friday evening or on Easter Saturday. Because it was the Passover, it was an extra special Sabbath. It wasn't just a normal Sabbath. For us, it wasn't just a normal Sunday. It was special. And so they had to be extra careful. And they couldn't just do what they wanted to do quick enough. And so we're told in all four of the Gospels the time that this event took place, which is why we have our Easter dawn service as near to dawn as Google is as accurate. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mark tells us that it was just as the sun was rising. Luke says at daybreak. It was dawn. Mary Magdalene, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, some others, went to the tomb to perform the religious duties that they should have prepared on the Friday. They didn't have time to anoint his body, to do their equivalent of our embalming. They didn't have time to wash him and to dress him the way that they would have wanted to have done it properly. They didn't have time to wrap him the way they would have wanted to have wrapped him. And they went early on the first day of the week. Once the Sabbath was over, they went to perform these duties. Just like you and I go to the gravesides of our friends and our families. We make that pilgrimage to remember them. We know that though their earthly body is there, they themselves are not there. The ladies went. And as they arrived at the garden tomb, all the Gospels agree on it and say that they noticed that the stone had been removed from the entrance. The tomb, the grave, was open. They went into a panic, just as you and I would. We can understand it. Put ourselves in the places of the people we're reading about. We can understand their emotions of fright, the fear, the shock, the embarrassment, the betrayal, the wondering, where is the body? And so she came running, we're told in John's Gospel, to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, who we to believe is John who wrote this account. So it's a first-hand account, it's primary evidence. She came to them and she said, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where he's at. And immediately the two disciples took to their heels and they started to run. And I have this image in my head of them getting faster and faster. And Peter and John are running side by side. And Peter's over the age of 18. He's married at this stage. John's still a little younger. He's not quite 18, going by the Jewish traditions. So he'd have been naturally that little bit quicker. And John just gets there before Jesus, and when he gets to the tomb, he slams on the brakes, and he looks and he sees the stones away. And he keeks inside, nearly in like a childhood fear type thing. And he looks inside, is it right, is it wrong? And then Peter catches up. Peter doesn't stop. Peter runs straight on into the tomb. And Peter stops inside and sees exactly what happened. Then, realizing that everything must be safe in there and there are no guards, there's no bogeymen in there ready to jump out and catch them, John then follows in as well. I love the image of Peter. Peter, we remember, 2 days earlier, on Friday morning, the early hours of Friday morning, Peter said 3 times, I do not know the man. He denied him 3 times. And Peter is so eager to make it right that he runs straight in there to see his Lord and his Master. In one of the other Gospels, we read that Jesus, when he appeared to Mary Magdalene, said, "Go and say to my disciples and to Peter." The reassurance that Peter, if not just yet, is about to be reinstated and fully forgiven is there. Folks, the resurrection for you and I this morning breathes in an amazing message of love. If ever we needed the reassurance of God's love, we have it in the 4 Gospels in the story of the resurrection. We said in the Easter anthems that Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who sleep. And what that means is that Christ has been raised, and the first fruits of those who sleep is the promise that more people will rise from the dead and follow him, to be with him in his kingdom forever. So on this Easter Sunday morning, should we think of nothing else, let us think that the resurrection for you and for I who are believers means resurrection. It means rising. And even though we be dead 1,000 years before Christ returns, our bodies will still rise from the grave, because he says it will. Because he promises it. Early on the first day of the week, Christ has been raised from the dead. You and I have that assurance of being raised from the dead, if we would accept him. And so therefore, I finish where I started, and I ask the question, what do you make of the cross? But more than that, what does the resurrection mean to you? I can tell you, for me, in a personal testimony, the resurrection means life. The resurrection means assurance. The resurrection means hope. The resurrection means forgiveness. The resurrection means love. What does the resurrection mean for you? Let us pray. Most loving God, we thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for how it breathes life and hope into each of us. May we not just know about it, but may we fully understand it, and may we fully receive it. For we pray it in your name. Amen.